Everybody, good evening. Last week we learned the Gemara Mem Zayin on Aleph. Maybe we'll review it again and conclude Halacha Lamaisa, what the din is. The Gemara quoted one of the earlier Amayroim. Where is it? A Mem Zayin on Aleph, about 8-9 lines before the wide lines, still in the narrow lines. The line begins with the words Amar Avada Barahava. So he's apparently an earlier Adamaira, and then there was a Machloikis later Amarayim. What did he mean? And we're going to, whatever he meant, that's what we're going to pass on like him. So he made a statement, Leviya Sheyolda, if the mother of the baby is a Leviya, the child doesn't need Pidyon HaBen. So the Gemara says, why doesn't child need Pidyon HaBen? The din is that if the baby is a Kohen or a lady, there's no need for Pidyon HaBen. But the status of the baby, whether the child will be a Kohen or Levi, depends on the father. It doesn't depend on the mother. Based on the pasuk in Bamidbar, chapter Aleph, the very beginning of Bamidbar, the mishpachosim levei savosim. So, what does it help that the mother's a Leviyah? If the father's a Yisrael, then the child will need Pidyon HaBen. So the second shot in the Gemara is that it's not so. Even though the status of the child is determined by the father, the father's a Yisrael, he's not a Kohen or a Levi, so the child will be a Yisrael. But the Peterachim Tala Rachmana, so since the mother is either Kohenus or Leviyah, so the child is also Patur from Pidyon HaBen. Either if the child is a Kohen or a Levi, because the father is a Kohen or a Levi, or if the father is a Yisrael. But the mother is a Kohen or a Levi, so since the Peterach and Talachmana, there is no din for Pidyon HaBen. That's the final pshat. And that's what Tosfos says, Dibra Maschah Mar, Bedi Rav Yosef says, Mishmei de Rabbah, that's pshat. It depends, but Peterach and Talachmana, Tosfos says, Kavasei Paskine Bechulen Resh Perak Azraya, we paskin like that. We pass like that pshat halacha ma'ase. Even though the child is neither a kohen nor a lady, but the mother's a kohen of Salavia, so the child will not need Pidyon HaBen. Fine. But then the first pshat in the Gemara was that there is no such din. The first mandama thought. The first one, they're both quoting in the name of Rav. On the first white line, on Mem Zayin Amalas, the Gemara says, Mar Brei de Rav Yosef Amam Bishmei de Rav one pshat. And then later, the Gemara quotes the second Mishnah. Who is the other one? That was the second Mishnah. Well, that was the first one again. So the first one was Amra Papa. Amra Papa was the third narrow line before the wide lines. Amra Papa, the Yebe Miyabi Kachavim. If the father of the baby is a Nochri and the mother is a Leviya, so since there is no mishpacha sav, because the child is Jewish, the mother is Jewish, so the child is Jewish, the father is a nochri, so the father's genetically the nochri is the father, but al pi din there's no yachas between a nochri and a Yisrael. So since there is no mishpacha sav, so it sounds like that's what we worked on last 2 weeks. Sounds like whenever there's no mishpacha sab to speak of at all, then mishpacha same is kriyah mishpacha. So we said that opinion, there was a time in Perek Yesh Nechlin that said like that, that the mother ki yarshin, usually Yerusha depends on mishpacha. There are two chaloshemes of kurva. The kurva of sher basar, ish ish el sher basar la sikru la gala serva. So Gili Arayis has a list of relatives that you're not allowed to marry, some from the father's side, some from the mother's side. So that's Sher Basar, both from the father's side and the mother's side. But whenever you're talking about Kurva Mishpacha, that's only Mishpachosim Levei Savosim, only Mishpachas Tzav Kriya Mishpacha. So when do you say like that? So by Yerusha depends on Mishpachtoi. Mishpachtoi V'Yorosh Oysam. So let's say a cousin, if a cousin dies and he doesn't have any closer relatives, so the cousin will Yarshim. But that's only if it's a cousin from the father's side. Cousins from the mother's side is Sher Basa, but it's not called Mishpacha. So therefore, if a person dies, his mother cannot Yarshin him, because she's not related to the son through the father's side. She's only related through the mother's side. So mishpacha same is any kriyah mishpacha. So there's one tana in Perek Yesh Nechna. He said that sometimes the mother does yash. So Tosfos says, how is that possible? It doesn't make any sense. The Tosfos says that tana is talking about a case where the father is a nochri. There is no mishpacha sa, but the father is a ger shemes vein lo yoshim. So there's no kurv at all. Nobody from the father's side up. The one you say mishpacha sav kriyah mishpacha. Not mishpacha same, if there is mishpacha sab to speak of. But if there is no mishpacha sab at all, the father's a nochi, the father's a ger, shemes, vein leyorshim, then mishpacha same is kriya mishpacha. So we don't pass on like that, Tana. Even when there is no mishpacha sab, we still say mishpacha same is any kriya mishpacha. So that's the poshub shat and that gemara. The gemara says if the father's a nochi, the mother's a levi, or the child will be a levi, not the pshat that he gets the second aliyah, he's really a levi. He's not a levi. So along the lines of Teterechem Talarchmana, but not exactly. He has a shaykhis with his mother's a levia, but he can't say that he's really a lady. Because even when there is no mishpacha sav, he still say mishpacha sav is any kriya mishpacha. We don't accept that opinion. So the Gemara said, what is this, about the 7-8 lines from the bottom of the Amud? So the Gemara, the line begins for Amra, Bodikman Rabba Rava. Someone was testing Rapapa to see if he knew the halachas of Pidya Rabben. So he asked him, what's the din if a Kohenes marries a Nochri? Unfortunately, Bizman Azeh happens very often. Kohenes marries a Nochri and they have a baby boy. Does the boy need Pidya Rabben? So Rapapa didn't fully grasp the din. So he said, oh, there was a din of Rav Ada bar Rava that if a Levi is living with a Nochri and the Nochri is not al pidin, he's not related to the child. So since the mother is a Levi, so the child is called a Levi. So the same over here. If the mother's a Kohenes and the father's a Nochri, so since there's no Mishpacha Sav, so the child, even though the child is not really a Kohen, he doesn't get the first Aliyah. But since the mother is a Kohenes, so in a certain sense, he's called a Kohen, and there's no Pidya Rabben. So Rabbi tells him, you made a mistake. There's a fundamental difference. I told Rabbi, same din as Levi Shiyolda from Anachri, but Omali, and he argued with me, Rabbi told me I made a mistake. Okay, Ashta, there's no Tushta. Why? Because there is a din in Chumash. A Kohen is not permitted to marry a Grusha Zayin of a Chalola Lo Yikochum. So Grusha, we know Grusha is a woman who got divorced. What's a Halola? Halola, we also know. Halola, if a Kohen marries a Grusha and they have children, so all the children are Halola. Right? So if they have a daughter, a Kohen marries a Grusha and they have a Halola, so a Kohen marries a Grusha, so if he has a daughter, the daughter will be a Halola. So that daughter is not permitted to marry a Kohen. What is a Zayna? So there are different opinions in the Gemara. So we paskin like the Tana, the Raman paskin like the Tana, that the definition of a Zayna is Nivala L'Pasala. So if a Jewish woman was Nivala to a Nachri, or to a Cholol, to a Mamzder, to an Eved, so the woman is considered a Zayna, and a Kohen is not allowed to marry her. So sometimes it's the Heta Gomer. Let's say a woman marries a Cholol. What's wrong? Muta L'Gamrei. A woman marries a Cholol. But a chalal is considered a chalal shem psul. So nivula l'pasul of a woman is nivula to someone who's pasul to her. Even if she's a kohenes, she's allowed to marry a chalal. It's beheter. But still she'll be considered nivula l'pasul, she'll be considered a zayin. So that's what Rabba told Rapapa, your tzushtal is not correct. Ravada Barahaba, the earlier Rama Ravada Barahaba said, if a woman is a Leviya and she's Nivala to a Goy, she remains a Leviya. So therefore, the child is considered a lady puzzle because the father's an Ochri. So the child, in a certain sense, is considered a lady. But if the mother is a Kohenes and she's Nivala to an Ochri, so Nivala L'Pasla P'sala, so she loses her Kedusha's Kavuna, and therefore there is no the mother is no longer, when the, by the time the baby is born, mother is no longer a Kohenis. It should be a Leviah, she would not be Nivela, there's no din of Nivela al Apostle Ksol. But if she's a Kohenis, that cancels her Kedushas Kohuna. That's the difference, Allah, right? So this din, what would be the din, let's say, in the following case? A Kohen marries a Gusha, and they have a daughter, and the daughter is the Halola. That's a bad example. Let's say a Kohen marries a Gusha, and they have a son. So the son is a Cholo. Kohen marries a Grusha, they have a son. The son is a Cholo. A Cholo means empty. He's emptied out from Kedusha's Kohen. He doesn't have any Kedusha's Kohen at all. So this son, let's say, marries a Kohenis. That's permissible. A Kohen is not allowed to marry a Cholo, but a Kohenis is permitted to marry a Cholo. So the Kohenis marries a Cholo, Beheta Gomer. But still, if her husband will die, she's not allowed to marry a Kohen. A Kohen can't marry a Grusha, but he may marry an Almana. A Kohen Gadol may not marry an Almana, but a Kohen Hedget may marry an Almana. But if the Almana was her first marriage, she was married to a Cholo, even though it's Beheta Gomer, that's the din of Nevel al Apostle. So just like the Gemara says, Nevel al-Pasala, if the Kohenis was living with a Nachri, she's Nevel al-Pasala, and she loses Kedushas Kuna, so the son will need Pidyon HaBen. If the mother would have been a Kohenah, if the mother would have been a Leviah, there's no din of Nevel al-Pasala. Even after she's Nevel, even after the Leviah lives with a Nachri, she's still permitted to eat the Maaser Rishon. But if the Kohenis is Nevel to a Nachri, she's not allowed to eat, even though her father was the Kohen, she's a Kohenes. If she's Nivela to a Nachri, she's not permitted to eat Truma, because Nivela Pasla Psova. So not only Nivela to a Nachri, even Nivela to a Cholo, even though it's Beheta Gomer, a Kohenes is permitted to marry a Cholo, but still it's called Nivela Pasla. I think we mentioned last week or 2 weeks ago, the Rambam writes, what if a woman was married to a Jew, and she didn't observe Taras HaMishpacha. So every time she's with her husband, she's in violation of an Issa Koris. But there's no Chal Hashem Psul on the husband. So the Rambam says, even though that's an Issa Koris, that's not called Nivela L'Pasala. And if the husband, the non-observant husband, dies, she's permitted to marry a Kohen afterwards. That's not, even though she violated an Issa Koris, there's no Chal Hashem Psul on the husband. She happens to be a Nida. She violated the Issa Nida. But if a woman, a Kohenis, marries a Cholo, which is Beheta Gomor, then it is Nevelol Apostol of Solom. So the Rambam in Hilchas Yisuribim, when he quotes all the Dirim, he says, Hola Marata, the upshot of the story is that declaring the woman as a Zainam, because she's Nevelol Apostol, doesn't depend whether she violated an Avera or not. It's possible she violates an Issa Koreis. She doesn't observe Taras HaMishpach. Every time she's with her husband, she violates an Issa Koris, and she doesn't become a Zayna. It's not Nivel al Apostle. She is a Nida, but the husband doesn't have a Chal Hashem Psul on him. If the husband is a Cholol, even though it's Beheta Gomer, the marriage is Beheta Gomer, it is Nivel al Apostle. So that's the Pasha that comes out from this Gemara. So then the Gemara commented, how do you read the Mishnah? The Mishnah on Daf Mem Vav Amud Aleph, the last five lines in the Mishnah. You have the Bach's little letter Dalet there, in the middle of the fifth line before the bottom of the Aleph. So the Vav is a mistake, so it shouldn't say the Aleph, it should say Yolda Hiva Kohenis. Two women gave birth and the babies got mixed up, we don't know whose baby is whom, but they both had boys. So a woman had a baby, her first child. A woman had a baby boy, and a Kohenis had a baby boy. So, the way the Mishnah sets it up, it means the Yisraelis had a baby boy, so that her husband has an obligation to do Pidyon HaBen. The Kohenis is married, her baby is not Mechuyev in Pidyon HaBen. And the two babies got mixed up, But we know that the man who is married to the Yisraelis is chayiv in pidyon haben. The man is married to the Kohanis is not chayiv in pidyon haben. So even though you don't know which baby this is, we usually have the baby in a basket, and you say, here's the baby, my wife gave birth to a bchora, I want to do a pidyon haben. But you can do the pidyon haben even if the husband is in Europe and the wife had the baby in America. The husband can do pidyon haben in Europe. He doesn't need the wife to be there, doesn't need the baby to be there. Just has another baby was born, and it's a peterechem, it's not a yoytze daifin, it wasn't cesarean, and the baby's still alive. The baby didn't die, he took shlosh. So then the father of the baby is mukhi to do pidyon haben. So that's what the Mishnah says in such a case. Yol the Hebrew Kohanis, two women gave birth to a baby, each one gave birth to a baby boy. You don't know which baby is who. So the father of the husband of the woman who is a Yisraelis has to do pidyon haben. But when it comes to Yerusha Pishnaim, you don't know which baby is the child of this husband, which baby is the child of the other husband. So that's the case. Where there is a chil pidyon haben, the father has to get pidyon haben. There's no, does know which is his baby, but neither boy will yarshin the father. So the Gemara asked the question. The Gemara asked the question: What's the case in the Mishnah? Who's the father? The father is a goy, the way we said pshat. What do you mean? Mother is a kohenes. Mother's a kohenes. So there's no din of pidyon haben. It's a new din. So according to the second version, my brother Rabbi Yosef, the first wide line on the my brother Rabbi Yosef, which made the other. That's how Tosfos said. That's how we paskin. If the mother's a Kohenis, even though the father's a Yisrael, and the baby's not a Kohen, still the pet terechem tal rachman, and so there's no pidyon haben. So you understand the case in the Mishnah. But according to the other pshat, going, well, who was the first one again? Rapapa understood Ravada Barava that the father of the baby is a Nochri. If the father's a Yisrael and the mother's a Kohenis or a Levia, then there would be a chiyah pidyon haben. According to Rav Papa. The only time Rav Ada Bar Abba says no chiyah pidyon haben, the father's a nochri. So how do you, the father's a nochri, the mother's a kohenes or levia. So mother's a kohenes, she'll lose a kedushas kohen. Only if the mother's a levia, yeah. So she doesn't lose a kedushas levia. So what do you mean? The father's a nochri, and he's going to do the pidyon haben? How can the Mishnah say that there's a chiyah pidyon haben? Sounds like the father does the pidyon haben. So how do you read the Mishnah? Gemara says, no, the father's a Kohen. The father's a Kohen. Why does it say Kohenis? Mrs. Kohen. If a girl is married to a Kohen, so she's called a Kohenis. She's not a Kohenis. She's Mrs. Kohen. Her husband is a Kohen, so her children will be Kohanim. But she's not a Kohenis. The Gemara said, that's what it means in the Mishnah. The Petah Rechmet Alachma. That's how we pass. That's how we passed. Okay. Now the Gemara has a very interesting shaila. Let's see. Itma, the top of Mem Zayin on the base, the top line. Koyin Shemeis, Vinyach Ben Kolo. A Koyin married a Grusha. And they didn't get divorced from her. And they had a baby boy. So the baby is a Kolo. Koyin marries a Grusha, the baby is a Kolo, Minatera. So there's a machlokes amarayim whether the baby needs pidyon haben. What's the case? The father is a kohen, so the father doesn't have to do pidyon haben. And the child have to make his own pidyon haben? Rav Chisda says the child has to do his own pidyon haben. Rabbi Barav Huna ma ein haben chayv liftes esatzma. What's the case? So the Gemara says, when the father's a kohen, when did the father die? So the Gemara says, "Kal hecha de mesa of la'acha shloshim." The ability to do pidyon haben is only after lamed yom. That's a big shach and yerideya. What does that mean? So there's one opinion. It's a calendaric day. Whatever day of the week the baby was born, so 4 weeks later, that day of let's say baby was born on a Tuesday. So 4 weeks later, on a Tuesday, that's going to be day 29. Because four times seven is 28. So from Tuesday to Monday, four times is going to be 28 days. But it's Tuesday on the fourth week. So Tuesday is already day 29. And 30, 31 will be Wednesday, Thursday. So the Pinyan Ben will always be 2 days later on the week. Baby is born on Shabbos, so the Pinyan Ben will be on Monday, 2 days later. So that's the normal Shita, that's the regular Shita. Then the Shach quotes a minority opinion in the Rishonim that Pinyan Ben doesn't take place on Yom Laman Aleph. It takes place if you wait, if you wait a whole month, what says the whole month? So we know that there's the Moilad Abdelavana, the months in our calendar, the months are lunar and the years are solar. We want Pesach always be to be in the springtime, and we want Sukkot always to be in the fall. And the lunar year, if it only has 12 months, is always 11 days shorter than the solar year. The solar year is 365 days, the lunar year will be 354 days. So every year, Pesach is going to be 11 days earlier. So after a while, Pesach will fall out in the middle of the winter, then it's going to fall out in the fall, then it's going to fall out in the summer, then many years later it's going to fall out again in the springtime. But it says Chodesh Adar, Pesach always has to fall out in the springtime. But that's why we make Hashanah Mu'uberes. So the years are solar years, and the months are lunar months. It depends on Merlin Halavana. So from between one Merlin and the other is not always the same amount of time. It has to do with the pull of gravity. So the average Moilad between 1 month and the other, the average Moilad is Chav Tes Yom, Yud Beis Shoes, and Tash Tzag Chalotim. 29 days, 12 hours, 29 and a half days, and a whole bunch of Chalokim. There are 18 Chalokim in an hour. So Tash Tzag Chalokim is a whole bunch of minutes. Fine. So there's a minority opinion in the Shulchan Aruch that the Pinyan HaBen can really sometimes be done on the 30th day. You don't have to wait till the 31st day. If the baby was born soon after Tzeisah Kochavim, so then the 29 days and 12 hours would change. 29 and a half days will be over in the middle of the 30th day. 29 and a half days. So you have another half a day left on the 30th day. So if the baby was born soon after Tzeisah Kochavim, the beginning of whatever day it was, so 4 weeks later, the 29 and a half days will be over on the 30th day. So you can already do Pinyan HaBen on the 30th day, according to that Shita. And even if it's the 31st day, let's say the baby was born 5 minutes before the Shkia, at the very end of the day. So the 29 and a half days, sometimes our meaning is that we always do Pinyan HaBen Bayom. We don't do Balayla. We wait till the morning of the 31st day. So sometimes the morning of the 31st day is not enough. Because if the baby was born in the beginning, let's say the baby was born, late in the day, 5 minutes before the Shkia, baby was born 5 minutes before the Shkia. So even if it's on, you want to do the Pinyan HaBen on the 31st day, you have to wait a while. You have to make sure that you have 29 days, 12 hours, and change. So sometimes it won't be the 32nd day, but it won't be early in the morning on the 31st day. Sometimes you have to wait till a few hours go by to make sure that you have 29 and a half days. So that's according to this one opinion, that Pinyan HaBen is done after the Chodesh is over. Doesn't always mean on the 31st day. Sometimes it can be done on the 30th day, after Chav Tes Yom Yud Beis Shoes Tash Tzag Chalokim. And sometimes you'll do it on the 31st day, but you can't do it right away. You have to wait a few hours into the morning. Can't do it right away. So these are the two opinions on the Shulchan Aruch. So the Gemara says, there's a question, we'll have to ascertain this. The din is, if you did Pinyan HaBen right after the bris was on the 8th day, then the father does no kunz and he does Pinyan HaBen. Says the bracha and gives the money to the kohen. So and then the kohen spent all the money already. So the deal is that that you're not Yotzei Pinya Ben. Your Pinya Ben can only be fulfilled after the Lamed Yom Arav, whenever that is. Either always on the Yom Lamed Alav or after Yud Chavtes Yom Yud Besh Soes Tash Tzak Halokim. So here there's a fundamental question that we'll have to figure out here. The Mefarshim, the Netziv, and the Chazon Ish, they talk about it a little bit, and it's relevant on this Gemara. When is the Chiyuv Pinyan HaBen Chal? Is it Chal the moment the baby is, the moment the Bechor is born, there's a Chiyuv Pinyan HaBen, but even though there's a Chiyuv, the Zman Kiyum HaMitzvah is only after the Yom Lamed? Or do you say, no, the Chiyuv Pinyan HaBen doesn't begin till the Yom Lamed? Will you have such a thing, that the Chiyuv is Chal now, even though the Zman HaKiyum is later? So there's such a Rashi in Masechet Sukkah, that the Mishnah Berurah points out, and the Bir Halacha. Rashi Masechet Sukkah sounds like he says, when it comes Leil Rosh Hashanah, you can't blow Shofar Balayla. Yom Teruah Yelechem, only by Yom, not Balayla. And the same thing in Tilas Lulav is only by Yom, not Balayla. There's a Mishnah in Megillah that says, Dov Shem Mitzvah by Yom, Kosher Kol HaYom. So it says, Lulav and Shofar have to be done by Yom. You're not Yetzi if you do Balayla. But Rashi seems to hold the Farish there that the Chiv, it's one Kedusha Sayyam of Rosh Hashanah on all of 24 hours, it looks like. One Kedusha Sayyam of Sukkot on all of 24 hours of Yom Tov. So the Chiv is Chal, the Chiv Netilas Lulav, and the Chiv Tkir Shofar, the Chiv is Chal Leil Yom Tov. But the Zman, that's the Zman Achiv. But the Zman Akiyum is only in the morning. The Mai Nafkamina. So Rashi has an Nafkamina for Dichoy. Nira v'nitcha v'chazah v'nira, a complicated din. But Rashi holds like that, that the chiyuv is chal when Yom Tov enters balayla. We daven already, we say Kiddush, and we daven, we say Yom Chag HaSukkos HaZeh, V'yayim Azikaron HaZeh, Rosh Hashanah. So the Kedushas HaYayim entered already, so we already mechuyiv to do Tkiyah Shofar, or to do Netilas Lulav, but the Zman HaKiyum is only in the morning. So that's the question over here. When the Bechor is born, is the Chiyuv Pinya Ben Chal right away? The moment the Bechor is born, there's already a Chiyuv Pinya Ben, but you can't. The Zman Kiyum HaMitzvah is only after the Yom Lamed. Or should you say, no, the Chiyuv to do Pinya Ben is only Chal when it comes to Yom Lamed Aleph. What's the difference, Halacha L'maaseh? So it's going to be a difference in Agmar. I'll give you another difference. There is a Gemara, the first half in Perek HaZohav. So the Gemara says in Bav Metzia and Perek HaZohav. So the Gemara has a statement there that once you determine how much Pinyan HaBen is, so the amount remains the same and it doesn't change, even though the value of silver fluctuates. So what does that mean once you establish how much it is? So that's a big machlokes. So Moshe Feinstein had a unique interpretation. I don't know if anybody agrees with Rav Moshe. I don't know if anybody agrees at all. The common practice is like the Chazon Ish, not like Rav Moshe. So Rav Moshe says, when George Washington established the Medina in America, so at that time, how much was Pinyan HaBen? So when he established a monetary system in every country, whenever they established a monetary system, you have to figure out at that time how much is Pinyan HaBen. How much is Pinyan HaBen? Well, he spoke about it already. The value of 96 grams of pure silver, the meaning is that you give 100 grams. So Rav Moshe holds when George Washington established the Medina in America and they established a monetary system, how much money would you need in American money at that time to buy 100 grams of pure silver? So once you've established that, even though they changed the monetary system many times over, so you make a conversion. Once you establish how much was Pinyan HaBen when the Medina began, when the monetary system was introduced, so it stays the same. But the coins are different. So you figure out a conversion table. At the time that they made a major change in the monetary system, how much was Pinyan HaBen in dollars and cents? And now, when you convert it, how much is it now? Then every time they make another change in the monetary system, you convert from how much it used to be and how much it is now. So it's quite a job to go figure out in every Medina when did the monetary system begin, and at that time how much was 100 grams of pure silver, 96 grams, 100 grams, whatever. Others say it's much less. I think they quote Nachsam Sefer. It's less than 75 grams, something like that, of pure silver. But the Chazanish made a whole calculation. Why? I think so it's 96 grams. So that's Rav Moshe's opinion. And the Chazanish doesn't think like that at all. The Stipler that quotes from the Chazanish, Stipler put as Stipler was the brother-in-law of the Chazanish. Chazanish read his sister a shidduch with this great Tam Chacham, and she married. He had a big family. I think 12 or 13 brothers and sisters. They were all Chazanish. They were all Talmid Chacham, all Rabbanim, or the girls all married Rabban. So the Stipler wrote a whole sefer Shurim Shal Torah. And he discusses all these kinds of shurim, how much is pinyaraben, how much is kezayis, all how much is a tefach, how much is an amma, all the various shurim. So the Chazanish says it doesn't mean how much was pinyaraben when they founded the monetary system in the days of George Washington. No, when the chiyah pinyaraben was chal on this baby, how much was it? Another poor who was born a different day. You have to figure out when the chiyah pinyaraben was chal on this person, how much money we're supposed to give. So the money stays the same. Even though the value of the money depreciates, money is worth much less. Let's say a person is 100 years old and he finds out that they never have a pinyaraben. So he has to do pinyaraben. So you don't give how much would it cost today for 96 grams of pure silver. How much was it when the chiyah pinyaraben was chal? So that's a question. When was the chiyah pinyaraben chal? The day the baby was born, or the day the baby reached Yom Laman Aleph? So that's a crucial question. Our Gemara is going to have another nafkamina in that, but that's a major nafkamina because the value of silver can fluctuate. So it could be the day the baby was born, 100 grams of pure silver, 96 grams cost so much. And on the Yom Laman Aleph, it's higher or lower amount. So that's relevant. So Agamar says like this. A Koya marries a Grusha and they have a baby boy who's a Bchor. So if it reaches Yom Laman Aleph and the Chiyah Pinyaraben could be fulfilled already, if the Yom Laman Aleph, the Chiyah Pinyaraben can be fulfilled, so then the father, the baby is a cholo, but the father doesn't become a cholo. Just because the father is married to a grusha doesn't make him into a cholo. So the baby is not a kohen. The baby is not a kohen. And the mother, even if the mother is a kohenist, but she'll be a nivola l'pasala. So you can't say the peter rachman tala rachmana. So the baby will need pinyaraben, but the father is a kohen, so the father doesn't have to give the pinyaraben to somebody else. He give the pinyaraben to himself. So the Gemara is talking, if the bechor kohen shemeis, the father died, and the son is a cholam. So if the father died after lamed yom, the father is a kohen, and the baby is a cholam. So the baby needs pinyaraben. He's not a kohen, not a levi, and the mother's not a leviya. Even if the mother's a kohenis, it doesn't help because never lo l'pasalo. So the mother loses kedushas leviya, kedushas kohuna. So the father does not have to give pinyaraben to someone else and give it to himself. So if the father died after he gave yom lamed aleph, the child doesn't need pinyaraben. The machlokes hamarayim over here between Rav Chisda and Rabbi Bar Avuna is, what if the father died before the Yom Lamed? So pinyaraben was clearly not taken care of. So when the child grows up, does he have to do pinyaraben? So the Pashta says yes, the child is not a Kohen, is not a Levi, and he's chayv in pinyaraben. Unless you say, unless you say that even though the way to fulfill a mitzvah pinyaraben, this man kiyam a mitzvah is only after lamed yom, you can't be mekayim the mitzvah toch lamed yom. But if you say the chiyuv is chal right away, so maybe I should say there was no chiyuv over here because the father was a kohen. If the father's a kohen, what's the pshat? It's considered as if he gives the money to himself. Well, the din is that the kohen is not mechuyev to give. The kohen never becomes mechuyev to give matnas kohuna to anybody else. Let's say the kohen bought a farm, and his mafresh truma. So truma is supposed to give the kohen. So what's the pshat? He gives the truma to himself, and he's yotze the matnas kohuna. Or you say no, he doesn't give to himself. There's no chiyuv in the first place. Kohen is not mechuyev to give matnas kohuna to another kohen. He's not mechuyev to give. Not mechuyev to give. Take for example, Ma'aseh Rishon is supposed to give to a Levi. And the Gemara points out, B'chavta al-Mekanim is Nikru Kohanim Levim. The Kohanim are also called Levim. So the Shaila is, if the farmer wants to give Ma'aseh Rishon to a Kohen, he's a Yotze the Mitzvah of Nesinas Ma'aseh Rishon, to the lady by giving to a kohen. So we spoke last week too, because that's a machlekes in Ksubis, the second pair of machlekes, Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Loza ben Azariah. Are you yotze the nesina of my submission to a lady by giving to a kohen? On the one hand, all the kohanim are called levim. On the other hand, Tosfos says all the kohen is not a lady. So which is it? So we explained the last couple of weeks. There are two inyanim in Levi. There's Kedushas Levi and there's Shevet Levi. So the Kohanim belong to Shevet Levi, but they don't have Kedushas Levi. That's what you see from Asgmar. Kohanim don't have Kedushas Levi, but they're from Shevet Levi. So that's the Machlekes of Akiva and Ablozim and Azai. When the Torah says you have to give Ma'aseh Rishon to a Levi, that's when you give it to one who's a member of Shevet Levi, so that's either Kohen or Levi. But he's saying, no, you're not Yotze if you give it to a Kohen. Because the Kohen belongs to Shevet Levi, but not Kedushas Levi. You have to give the Ma'aseh Rishon to one who has Kedushas Levi. So the Rambam paskens that min HaTorah, you're only Yotze, the farmer's only Yotze, the Matona of Ma'aseh Rishon, if you give it to a Levi who has Kedushas Levi. If you give it to a Kohen who's only Shevet Levi, but not Kedushas Levi, you're not Yotze. But nonetheless, the Rambam writes that a kohen has the form is not mechuyev to give the ma'aseh rishon to someone else. So the Ritva in Kiddushin says that's true after Takanas Ezra. The Gemara in Ksubis says that Ezra made a knas. Ezra made a penalty, and the Taisus points out there in Ksubis it doesn't say this in Tanakh at all. No mention of this at all in Sefer Yeshua. In Sefer Ezra Nehemiah, no mention at all. But the Gemara has a tradition like that. That in Tanakh, what it does say is that when Ezra was traveling back from Bovel, they were schlepping Jews to come back to Eretz Israel because they wanted to be makor korbanos in the beginning of the Vaisheni period. So he stopped by a river in the Har Kvar, I think, and he asked by show of hand, how many of you are Levim? There were hardly any Levim. So he says, we can't bring karbonis. You can't expect the Levi to stay awake for 5 days in a row. You have to alternate. Every couple of hours, you have to shift. You have to have a different shift of Levim running the Beis HaMikdash. 7 days a week, you have to have more Levim, not enough. So he told everybody to wait there by the river. He's going to go back to Bovel. He's going to schlep more Levim, to bring more Levim back. So because the Levim were negligent at the time of Shiva Sion, in the beginning of the Vaisheni period, so the Gemara has a tradition that Ezra penalized the Levim. The Rambam writes, he only penalized the Levim of his generation. Ezra konasal Levim shebidoro. The Minchas Chinuches, the Rambam seems to be against the Gemara. The Gemara talks about in the days of the Tanaim, the knas, the penalty of Ezra was still around. So the penalty, what was the nature of the penalty? So the Gemara says in the second paragraph of Ksubis, it depends what was the din deraisa. If the din deraisa was that you only yotze matnas levia, if you give ma'aseh rishon to a levi, if you give to a kohen, you're not yotze. So then the penalty of Ezra was you can either give to a kohen or a levi. He penalized the levim a little bit. But if the din is that you yotze, the din always was that you yotze by giving the ma'aseh rishon to a Kohen or a Levi, then the penalty was they should only give it to a kohen, shouldn't give it to a levi at all. But there was a penalty. Ezra made a penalty. So the Rambam writes la halacha that if the farmer gives the maaser rishon to a kohen on the level of the raisa, you're not yotze. You're only yotze if you give maaser rishon to a levi. Give it to a kohen, he has shevet levi, but he doesn't have kedushas leviya, so you're not yotze. Nonetheless, the Rambam says on the level of the raisa, not after the kness of an Ezra, on the level of the raisa, a kohen who has a farm is not obligated to give the maaser rishon to someone else. He can keep it for himself. So you can't say that is yotze by giving to himself. The Rambam writes on the level of the raisa, if the owner of the farm is going to give the maaser rishon to a kohen, is not yotze. So if the kohen owns the farm and is mafresh maaser rishon, can't say he keeps it for himself. He does the matnas kuna to himself. You have to say in the Rambam, the Feirush, you have to say in the Rambam, the Ritvoim Kiddushin says like that. If min haTorah, you can be yotze the mitzvah of matnas levia by giving maaser rishon to a kohen or a levi, then on the level of the raisa, the kohen has a farm. It's not mechuyev to give the maaser rishon to someone else. He can keep it for himself. But if you'll adopt a position that min haTorah, you only yotze matnas levia if you give the maaser rishon to a levi, you give it to a kohen, not yotze, then the Ritva says that min haTorah, the kohen has to give the maaser rishon to someone else. He can't keep it for himself. But the Rambam says not so. The Menachas Chana points it out. Machleka is the Rambam and the Ritva. So the Rambam holds it's a different din. A coin is not mechuyev. Not that the coin is yotze by giving to himself. The coin is not mechuyev to give matnas kuna to anybody else. He's not mechuyev to give matnas levia. My submission, you have to give to a lady. The coin is not mechuyev to give it. He can keep it for himself. Not that he's yotze in the sinner by giving to himself. You're not yotze if you give my submission to a kohen. But the kohenim are not mechuyev to give. So that's the shtaila over here. When is the chiyuv pinyan ben chal? If the pshat is that if the father died after lamed yom. Again, a kohen marries a grusha and they have a son and he's a cholo. So the child is not a kohen. So the child needs pinyan ben. So the Gemara says, if the father died, the father was a kohen. If the father died after lamed yom, then for sure the child is not mechuyev pinyan ben. Why? So either because you say that the father was yotze, he gave the pinyan ben to himself. The father was mechuyev to give pinyan ben after lamed yom, and he gave it to himself in his yotze. That's how the Ritva would say. He was yotze by giving it. The Ritva is the one who said that if you're not yotze matnas levia by giving maaser rishon to a kohen, then a kohen has a farm is mechuyev to give the maaser rishon to a levi. He can't keep it for himself. The Ritva holds when the owner of the farm is a kohen, so he gives the truma to himself. If he's a levi, he gives the maaser rishon to himself. So over here, if the father dies after lamed yom, so we say he was yotze. He gave the maaser. He gave the pinyan ben to himself. He gave it to his yotze by giving it to himself. But the other opinion was even if the father died toch lamed yom, why is that? That there's no chiyuv to do pinyan ben. So a Rambam seems to hold. We'll have to, the Rambam is on the next daf, but it's negated to this Gemara. The Rambam seems to hold that the chiyuv pinyan ben is chal when the baby was born. The zman kiyum mitzvah is only after lamed yom, but the chiyuv is chal right away. And when you said chapan afkamina, how much money do you have to have? How much money do you have to give? Do you have to give the value of 96 grams of pure silver on the day the baby was born? And the value of 96 grams of pure silver on the day on the Yom Lamed Aleph. And sometimes there'll be a major jump, deflation or inflation, in between the day the baby was born and the day, every so often, the value of silver fluctuates. It can go up, it can go down. So the Rambam on the next daf seems to hold like that. That the Chiyuv Pinyan Ben is chal the moment the baby was born. And the chiv is not chal on a coin. If the father, the baby is a coin, the chiv is not chal on a coin. So the shaila is, let's say, the following thing. Let's say a normal case, a couple got married, they have a baby, they never heard a pinyan ben, they never did a pinyan ben. And then at the age of 75, the man finds out that he never had pinyan ben and his parents never did it. So his parents are not alive anymore, he's already 75 years old, they're in the early Mohammeds, he does his own pinyan ben. So there's a discussion in the poskim. Is the chiyuv pinyan ben that if a baby, a b'chor, never had pinyan ben, the father never did pinyan ben, and the child has to do, does it start off as a chiyuv pinyan ben on the father? And because the father never did it, so now the chiyuv is mutal on the son to do it? Or they say, no, maybe it's the reverse. Maybe the initial chiyuv pinyan ben is really on the baby, and the father's doing pinyan ben. The father normally does pinyan ben on Yom Laman Aleph. Maybe the father's doing on behalf of the baby. And then when the baby is now 75 years old and the father's no longer alive, and the baby's going to do his own pinyan ben, the chiyuv pinyan ben really begins with the child. The ikar mitzvah pinyan ben is really on the child. So there's a famous Tshuvas HaRivosh. Rav Baruch Ber quotes it and he talks about it. The Rambam writes, based on the Gemara in the beginning of Pesach, the Rambam writes, when a moel performs a bris milah, so he has to recite a bracha kol mitzvahs kulam mevarach aleihem moel asiyasam. So he says, "Hashem kedushanu b'mitzvaysav tivano." What does he say? Lomal is habein. Kedushanu is lomal. The moel is not a relative. They call the moel the local in the kehila. They have a moel. So he called the moel can't say kedushanu tivano. Hakadosh Baruch Hu gemein lomal is habein. It's not his baby, he's not Mechoyim. So he says, Kedushan Tassano, Ala Mila. But if the Rambam says, but if the father's doing the bris on his own baby, then he says, Lomala Sabe, because he's Mechoyim to do the actual Mila. So what's the din when the father does the Pidyan Aben? So the Rambam says, then he says, Al Pidyan Aben. If the father never did the Pidyan Aben and the man is now 75 years old and the parents are not alive, he's doing his own Pidyan Aben. So the Rambam says that he says a bracha liftos esaben. What if he does? Like the father is doing the bris on his own child, he says lomal esaben. When the moel does it, the moel is not mechuyev. He'll be mekayim the mitzvah on behalf of the father. So he says ala mila. He say ala mila if it's not your obligation. He say lomal if it's your obligation. So the Rambam seems to have, that's what the Rivosh points out. The Rambam seems to have distinguished between the chiyuv of the father to do a bris on his child and the chiyuv of the father to do a pinyan ben on the child. Chiyuv of the father to do the bris, that's the ikar chiyuv is on the father. He has to do the bris on his baby. Pinyan ben, the father is doing the pinyan ben on behalf of the child. So he says, al pinyan ben. He doesn't say, lift us as a ben. If the child does his own pinyan ben, then he says, lift us as a ben. But if the father's doing it, he says a bracha al pinyan ben, he's really doing for the child. So that could be that's the machlekes amaroyim on our daf here. If the father was a kohen and the father died within 30 days, so you can't say that opinion seems to hold that the chiyuv pinyan ben begins after 30 days. Before 30 days, no chiyuv at all. So now the question is, does the son take over the chiyuv from the father to do pinyan ben? Or no, the father was doing on behalf of the son. Not that the ikar chiyuv was on the father, and now the son yarshins the chiyuv. The ikar chiyuv was on the baby all along. So that's what the Gemara says. The son, if the father was a kohen, it's not the pshat that he gives himself the money. Kohanim are not mechuyev to give matnas kuna to another kohen. The father was never in his chayiv in the first place to give the pinyan ben to somebody else. So therefore, when the father dies, the son doesn't take over the chayiv. There's only a chayiv on the son to do pinyan ben if the father had a chayiv b'shaita. But if the father was a kohen, Then the Gemara has a lashon, asin mikarach kavda matzis lishtoi yedina bahadei. The son only has a, the child has a chiyuv to do pinyan aben. The son's chiyuv is if he's taking over the chiyuv that the father had. But if the father didn't have any chiyuv, then the son has no chiyuv to take over. The Gemara says you can't say that because the Mishnah has a case. A woman is pregnant and she converts. Mu'berish and his gaira. The Mishnah mevavim and aleph says mu'berish and his gaira. A nachri is pregnant and the father is probably a nachri. A nachri with a nachri. She became pregnant. And then the wife decides she wants to convert. So the baby boy is born. It's harasa shala bigdusha b'leidosa bigdusha. So the Mishnah says that he needs pidyon ben. The Gemara asked, but the father was a nachri. The father didn't have a chiyuv pidyon ben. And if he say the chiyuv of the child to do pidyon ben on his own, he yarshins from the father. The father had to have a chiyuv. If the father was a kohen, and he died toch lamed yom, so the father never was in line to have a chiyuv pidyon to do the pidyon ben, then the son has no chiyuv to yarshin. So how can you say, how can the Mishnah say that if the Bechor was a Rasa Shalah Bigdusha, but a Dasa Bigdusha, she was a Nochri, she became pregnant from a Nochri, and then before she gives birth to the baby, she converted. So the baby is born, the baby is Jewish. And there is no, you can't say the father was Mukhi to the father was a Nochri. So how come the Mishnah says that the child is going to take care of his own pinyan ben? If you say that pinyan ben that the child does on himself is only a carryover from the pinyan ben that the father was b'chayiv to do. So Gemara says, no, this is a different case over here. Here the father is a nochri, there's nothing to discuss. Here for sure, the chayiv pinyan ben begins with the child. But if the child had a father, the child was mesiachas after. The father was Jewish. Father's in fact a kohen. And the kohenim are not mechuyev in pidyon ben. So then, after the father dies, then the son doesn't yarshin. The son doesn't carry over that mitzvah. Sometimes the son has a chiyuv to do pidyon ben on his own. If the father was an ochri, so there was no habamin in the first place that the father should be mechuyev to do pidyon ben. In that case, the mitzvah pidyon ben begins melechatchila on the son. And if there is a father to relate to, the father was Jewish, and the child is Jewish, because the mother was Jewish, all three were the father, the mother, the child was Jewish. So there was a chiyuv mutal on the father that was what to talk about, and the father was a gavrala bar chiyuve, because the father was a kohen kohen, manat mechuyev in pidyon ben. So then the Gemara says, that may be the machlokes hamaroim, is the chiyuv pidyon ben on the son where there was a father. Is it a carryover from the father's chiyuv? Oh no, it starts with the son. So let's see again the Gemara. Let's see again from the top line and then Zion on the days.
Rav Schechter, according to the opinion that it starts with the son, so every time we have a regular, normal pidyon haben, the father is basically stealing the mitzvah from the son.
The Torah says that he should do it. The Torah says he should do the pidyon haben on behalf of the son. So that's what the Rivash, that's what Baruch Be'er quotes the Rivash. Why, when the father does the bris himself on his own baby boy, he says, Lomolas habein. When the moel does the bris on someone else's baby, he says, Alamilo. But the father does it, he says, Lomolas habein, because it's his chiyuv. But when the father does pinyan ben, when the child does pinyan ben on himself, he says, Liftas as habein. When the father does pinyan ben for the child, the father says, Al pinyan ben. Why Al pinyan ben? Because he's not doing his own mitzvah. Like you say, he's really doing the mitzvah on behalf of the child. He say he's stealing the mitzvah. The Torah says he should do it. The Torah says he should do the mitzvah on behalf of the child. So that's the Rambam holds that the Iker mitzvah is really all along on the child. And the father does begin, in the normal case, father does begin then on the Yom Laman Aleph on behalf of the child. That's why he says, I'll begin then. He doesn't say, lift this as a day. So that may be this machlokes here. Again, Itmar. Kohen Shemes, the father of the baby is a Kohen, and he died, and he never did pinyan ben. Vinyach ben Cholol, father was married to a Grusha, so the son is a Cholol. So what's the din? Does the son have to do his own pinyan ben? So Rav Chisda says, a ben chayv liftes as atzma. Rav Avraham says, ain't a chayv liftes as atzma. So when is the machlekes? So the Gemara says, Kohecha demes ha'av la'achashloshim, if the father died, after the Yom Lamed Aleph. So for sure the chiyuv set in already. Then for sure the child doesn't need the kuli amal aplik dena ben chayav liyafnis esatzma. Why? Arizocha av pidyona. What does it mean zocha av? Either means he's yotze the matnas kuna by giving to himself. Pashta says, does he have to take out money, set aside 5 shkolim, and yet give it to himself? Or doesn't have to be a mafresh? I'll have to talk about that in a few minutes. That's in Shulchan Aruch. They quote Rashi and the Rosh say he has to set aside the money. He has to set aside a chiddush. That's a big chiddush. So the Gemara says the father died after the Yom Lamed, and for sure the chiyuv was chal, and the father was a kohen. So either you say he's yotze by giving to himself, or you say that there was no chiyuv. The chiyuv was supposed to be chal. It was never chal because the kohenim are not mechuyev. So if they're not mechuyev, so then the child is also not mechuyev. Kolam alvik ena bein chav disas mashkari zocha bepidyone. The father, it was already after Yom Lamed Aleph, and the father wasn't mechuyev to give it away. Ki pligi, when is there machlekes Rav Chizda, Rabbi Baravuna? If the father died, hechad meis betoch, hechad meis ha betoch shloshim yom. Chizda ha bein chav liftis esatzmai, because the father never. The father didn't live so long to say he was yotze pinyan ben by giving to himself, but to say that the chiyuv never chal on him because he died before the Yom Laman Aleph. So lo zocha avi b'pinyana. Rabbi Baruch Hu Na'ama ein aben chayv liftes esatzmai. Why? So he also holds that sounds like the chiyuv pinyan ben is chal on the 31st day, but he says the ikar chiyuv pinyan ben is really on the father. And the son carries over the chiyuv that the father never took care of. So ein aben chayv lifts. That's why the amalei the child can taina. It's not a question of a taina and a dintaira. It's a svara and a chiyuv. Asina, I come nikra gavra. I yarshan the chiyuv from my father, but my father was never mechuyev to do it. My father was a kohen. He wouldn't have been mechuyev to do the pinyan. Asina nikra gavra. I come from a person to the matzah of shtoy dina ba'adei. You couldn't have insisted, you couldn't have forced my father to give the pidyon ben money. And whenever the son does pidyon ben on himself, because the father never did, he's just carrying over the chiyuv that the father had. So since the father was a kohen, even though he died before the Yom Lamed, the son will not be mechuyev. So the Gemara says, how can you say like that the chiyuv of the son to do his own pidyon ben whenever the father didn't take care of it, is to fulfill a mitzvah that the father was mechuyev, it's a carryover when the father's chiyuv, but the Mishnah says when the father's a goy, the woman is a nochri, and she's pregnant from a nochri, and then she converts in the middle of the pregnancy, the baby's hayrasu shalai b'gdusha v'hidasu b'gdusha. So the Gemara asks on the Mishnah, it says in the Mishnah, Tanan, it says in the Mishnah, mem vavim and aleph, this garamu beres, a woman, a nochri, is pregnant, she converts, so the baby is a b'chor l'koy. Baby has to do pinyan ben later. So the question about my, well, the father was a nochri. The nochri is not mechuyev in pinyan ben. So whenever the father wasn't mechuyev, according to this opinion, according to Rabbi Baruch Huna, the chiyuv of the son to do the pinyan ben when the father didn't take care of it is to carry over from that chiyuv that the father had. Here the father was a nochri, so there was no chiyuv. So he should say also the son shouldn't be mechuyev to give pinyan ben. Asina, I come mikdak abdul lamatzis l'shtoyin dina b'hadei. How can I be a carryover from the chiyuv on the father? So don't you see from the Mishnah that opinion is wrong? Rabbi Rav Huna is wrong. And the name shani avkham deleis lechayis. No, there's no yachas. If the father's a nochri and the baby is Jewish, because the mother was Jewish, the baby is Jewish. So there was no shaychus al pidin. The son is biologically the son of the goyish father. But al pi halacha, there's no yachas at all. There's never any yachas between a Yisrael and a nochri. If a Jewish man marries a non-Jewish woman, or the reverse, a Jewish woman marries a non-Jewish man, the Gemara learns that from Sukkim, en kiddushin tofsin. So from the same pasuk, Tosu shows in Gitna, daf mem gimel, but the same pasuk you learn out that there can't be any kurva between a Jew and a non-Jew. The reason why there's no tvisis kiddushin, because there can't be any kurva. So over here also, the father's a goy, the mother's Jewish, and the baby's going to be Jewish, and the child is Jewish, and the father's a goy. So there's no yachas at all. Pidin, there's no father at all. It's an immaculate conception on Pidin. There's no father at all. So So this whole idea that the chiyuv of the son to do his own pigyanah ben is a hemshach of the father's chiyuv. That's baned v'mamur if there was a father. Even if the father died, he made the mother pregnant and he died before the baby was born. So he was never the father of the baby. He made her pregnant and then he died right away. He died before, in the middle of the 9 months of the pregnancy, he died. So he was never a father. But Al-Pidin on the books, he's the father, so theoretically there was a father. So the chiyuv of the child to do his own pinyan ben is a carryover. It started off what should have been a chiyuv on the father. But if the father's a nochri, so there's no yachas at all, so that's a different case. So how do we, so it's the machlokes amarat. So how do we pass on halacha l'maisa? So the Gemara concludes, Amrab Shimon ben Yasiniya, Amrab Shimon ben Lakish. These two Amorim, Rab Chizda and Rabba Barthuna, lived in Bavel. And these Amorim lived in Eretz Yisrael. Shlokish, Rabbi Yochanan, lived in Eretz Yisrael. So this Rab Shimon ben Yasiniya, they were all Chachmei Eretz Yisrael. So they say that you're not Mechuyev. They say, Halacha. Koyim Shemesh, B'toch Shloshim, Nech Ben Cholol, Ben Chayu lived in Sassmai. Why should the Zachar be pinyonim? Meis l'achas l'oshim yom. If the father died after Yom Lamed Aleph, and that's already this man, either that's this man where the chiyuv is chal, that's man where he can do the kiyuma mitzvah, so then you say the father was already yotzei the pinyon ben. You know, either the father was yotzei, gave to himself, it's considered as if he gave to himself, or that's the Ramban and Sefer Mitzvahs, and the Sharoshim discusses that. Is that the pshat? That the kohen doesn't have to give pinyon ben, or the kohen doesn't have to give truma to another. The kohen has a farm, and his mafresh truma doesn't have to give truma to another kohen because he's yotze by giving to himself. Or the pshat is that there's no chekohanim and I'm chayv to give matnas kuna to other kohanim, which is the pshat. So that's what we showed the machlekes, the Ritvo and the Rambam. The Rambam holds that kohanim and I'm chayv to give matnas kuna, and not even chayv to give matnas levia, even though if a farmer will give my submission to a kohen, he won't be yotze min haTorah before the Knas of Ezra. He won't be yotze min haTorah. Nonetheless, the Rambam says min haTorah, the kohen has a farm, is not mechuyev to give my submission to anybody else. So you can't say he's yotze by keeping it. He's not yotze. If you give it to a kohen, you're not yotze. There's no chiv in the first place. That's how the Rambam, no chiv in the first place. So that's how we pass him. So in the Shulchan Aruch, the Shulchan Aruch, the Mechaber quotes the Rashi here. The Rashi, the third line from the top of the Amud, on Mem Zayin on the base. Rashi says, the father has to be mafrish the money. If it comes Yom Lamed Aleph, father should set aside the money and then keep it for himself. And the Rosh also writes like that. So the Shulchan Aruch writes like that. It's a big chiddush. A big chiddush that you have to, there's such a thing as setting aside money. When you set aside Zrola Chayim v'hakeva, the minute you shech the animal, Zrola Chayim v'hakeva is matnas kuhuna. So strictly speaking, you don't have to be koreshen. When you shech the animal, Zrola Chayim v'hakeva are nika where they are. It already automatically belongs to Shevet Kuhuna. You don't have to designate it. If you mafresh truma, you koreshem truma, so something is chal. But if you set aside five sloim for pinyan ben, what's chal? Nothing was chal. What are you going to say? If you have maaser sheni and you poida it, I set aside money, pinyan maaser sheni has to be dafka on cash. Can't be poid on shavu kesef. When you mekadesh an isha, we say shavu kesef ki kesef. So the meaning is, in Shulchan Aruch, they quote from the Zohar. Meaning is, Yimikadash and Isha, B'shova Kesev, you give a ring. That Shova Kesev, Dina Kekesev. I pray to my Sashen, you need Daf Kekesev. Shova Kesev is not good. So let's say the farmer designates my Sashen. So when he designates it, it's called my Sashen. It's Mafresh, my Sashen. True Magdala, my Sashen, my Sashen. Everything is Chal. It takes off the Yisid Tevel. So when the farmer is Paida, the Maaser Sheni, in order to be permitted to eat it Chutz Yerushalayim, so he says, I want the Kedushas Maaser Sheni on the Paris to transfer, to switch over to the money. So that's Chal. But let's say the father is supposed to give Pinyan Ben five Shkolim, and the Yom Lamed Aleph, he sets aside five Shkolim. Is it Chal something? Nothing is Chal. If he lost the money, is chay b'pidyon. Until you give it to the kohen, you didn't accomplish anything. So what is chal by setting aside the money? So some achrayim have an idea. I think the Maharil has this, and the Sfarno Achumish has like this. So some of the achrayim have a wild idea that the parents are not allowed to play with their baby until they do the pidyon haben on Yom Lamanal. The baby is not theirs. It's like it's hegdush, as if the baby is hegdush. When you do pidyon haben, you're taking off the kedusha. Then you're allowed to play with your own baby. Then you're allowed to act with the baby. So that's what they ask. It's against the Gemara in the first parak, the end of the first parak. Gemara said beferish that when you do pidyon haben, nothing is chal. Nothing. You're not taking off any iser on the baby. A blaze of silver was a great guy, and he passed away many, many years ago, 60 years ago or so. So he put out the Anfei Erez. He put out the one-man encyclopedia. He was a big bokeh in Shas. He put out a one-man encyclopedia called Anfei. I think it's two volumes or something like that. And he quotes these Rishayim on the Pidyon Haben, like the Sfarno Achumish and the Maharil. And he says it's against the Gemara. The Gemara in the first, the end of the first Perek Amchara seems to say, when you do Pidyon Haben, you're not taking off any Isra at all. So we don't understand. What did the Rashi and the Rosh mean over here? That whenever you have a situation where you're not mechuyev to give pidyon haben money, let's say the Yom Laman Aleph comes and the father of the baby is a kohen and the baby is not a kohen. If it's a normal case, the baby is a kohen, then they'll chiyev pidyon haben in the first place. The baby is a kohen or a levi. Here, the father married a grusha, so the baby is a cholol. So the cholol is chayev in pidyon haben. So the father is a The father's mechuyev to do pidyon haben. When it comes Yom Lamed Aleph, he's yotzei the pidyon haben. Either he gives to himself, either we say he's giving to himself, or we say, kohanim are not mechuyev to give matnas kunah to somebody else. But it doesn't make sense to say that the father has to designate the money. Well, let's say over here, the father died within 30 days. So when the son grows older, even if you all like this second opinion, that Meis Lach Shloshim Yom, the Ben is not Mechuyev Liftis Asatzmai, so the Shulchan Aruch quotes the Rosh, but he should set aside the money. What do you accomplish by setting aside the money? Nothing is Chal. Nothing is Chal until you give over the money. What's accomplished? Pella. It's a big Pella. So they work very hard on this. I don't know, Rab Shimon Shkop talks about it in his Sefer Shari Yosha, I seem to remember. Whatever you're going to say is going to be a big doichik. It's very difficult. We don't understand. But it's the Rashi has it, the third line from the top. Mafrish leva shokale. He sets it aside and keeps it for himself. Shokale v'namshe. And the Rosh has it. The Shulchan Aruch quotes it from the Rosh. They don't really understand. It's a shver din. This din is a difficult din. Next Gemara is also a difficult din. Next Gemara. The Gemara quotes a caption from the Mishnah. That's a din of Havchana. Let's say a woman got divorced or the husband died. So the woman is no longer married. Either she got a get or the husband died. She's allowed to remarry. So there's a din with the Rabbana. She's not permitted to remarry until Tzadik Beis Yom. You have to have Havchana. She has to wait 3 full months. 92 days, 90 full days in between the day on which the husband divorced her or died, and the day on which he wants to remarry. You have to have 90 full days in between, plus the day that he died and the day that she's getting married. That's Tzadik Beis Yom, 92 days. So the, what's the reason for that? So the Chachamim wanted to make sure that we know who the father of the child is. The woman may remarry right away and she'll have a baby soon and we won't be able to tell whether this child is the son from the first husband who passed away, who divorced her, or the child is from the second husband. My nafkamina, for Yerusha purposes, if it's the son from the first husband, gets Yerusha from the first husband. Child from the second husband gets Yerusha from the second husband. Or let's say the first husband was a kohen, and the second husband is a lady. So is the child a kohen, a lady, or a Yisrael? Which is he? So whoever is his father. That'll determine what the status of the child will be. So the so the Mishnah has a case. A woman didn't wait 92 days. and she remarried, and she has a baby, and we don't know who the father of the baby. She never had any children. The woman was married to the first husband, and now she remarried, and she didn't wait Tzadik Beis Yom, so we don't know. Today, we can tell by the DNA, by the blood type, we can tell different ways. Days of the Tanan, they had no way to tell. So you don't know whether the child is from the first husband or the second husband. So who's mechuyev to do the pir? Let's say it's a boy. It's a boy. And neither husband is a kohen or a levi. And the mother woman is not a kohen or a levi. So the child needs pidyon haben. So who has to do the pidyon haben? Husband number one, husband number two. So each one you say, hamotze mechaber lo varai. You don't say, sofik deraisa lechumre. It's a mitzvah to do pidyon haben. You recite a bracha. But the nature of the mitzvah is that you have to give cash. You have to give money. Kesev or shavu kesev. You have to give kesev or shavu kesev to the kohen. So even though it's a mitzvah, you require a bracha, but whenever there's a suffix, you say, you don't have to give. The Mishnah is going to have a lot of examples like that. Whenever there's a suffix, you're not mechuyev to give. So the Gemara, so the Mishnah says, the child is the firstborn child. He will certainly have to do a pidyon haben, but neither father has to do. He'll have to make his own pidyon haben. When he grows up, he knows that he is a bchor. But neither husband has to do the pidyon haben, and the child will not get pishnayim, not from the first husband, not from the second husband. Again, because hamotzi mechaber olav harayah. Let's say the first husband will have other children. First husband divorced his wife and she remarried someone else. So, and second husband also has other children. So the question is, is this child who was born right after she remarried the second husband, is it a pregnancy that began by the first husband and the second husband? Is he entitled to pishnayim by either of them? So the other children who are for sure children of that husband, they're called mukzokim. And we say, Amoitzim Machabel of Harayah. So this son doesn't get any pish. This child doesn't get pishnayim by either. So the Gemara raises an objection. This child, we don't know whether he's a bchor, the first husband, second husband. So you say, Amoitzim Machabel of Harayah. The other Yorshim keep the Yerusha, and the bchor doesn't get the pishnayim. You shouldn't even get a chelek apshitus. Why did it just say he doesn't get pishnayim? He doesn't even get any Yerusha at all. Frag the Gemara. Doesn't get pishnayim. How can Pashu chokil? He gets like a son. Why? Amai? Lezel agabi haibiladachi. Let him go to the, when the first husband will die, he'll go to the other children of the first husband and say, you're not, we don't know, we're not so convinced that you are our brother. Maybe you're a child from the second husband. When the second husband will die, he'll go to the other children from the second husband. Once a shir. And the Yerusha said, maybe you're a child from the first husband. And the others, who are vada yorshim, will say to him, we're muhzokim, and hamotzim machaber olav harayah. We don't have to give you anything. But that's what the Gemara asks. Why does the Mishnah write it so poorly? Mishnah says, this child who's a suffix, whether he's child of the first husband, child of the second husband, he doesn't get pishnayim. Should have said, he doesn't get Yerusha at all. Gemara says, no, the Mishnah wants to say, no, the Mishnah means to say, this child for sure doesn't get pishnayim, doesn't get any Yerusha, but the next one to be born will also not get pishnayim. The first husband divorces the wife, he has no children yet. Then he remarries, he has 10 children. So the first of the new 10 children, that child also doesn't get pishnayim. Because maybe this child, the suffix, maybe he's the bchor, maybe the second one is not. And then the second husband has another 10 children of his own. But you don't know whether this child who is the suffix, was he the firstborn child of the second husband? Or no, he's from the first husband, and the first child of the second husband is the one who was born after him. So that's what the Mishnah means to say. Not only, he doesn't get pishnayim, the next son, who's a vadaya's son, will get Yerusha, but the next son won't get pishnayim. That's what the Mishnah means. Then the Gemara asks the Kasha, there is an institution of Harshoya. Harshoya is a sugya, Bobakama, Dafayinam, and all a very short sugya. The story goes like this. Somebody owes me $1,000, and he moved to Johannesburg. I'm not planning, so I keep on sending him letters, and I say, you owe me $1,000, pay me the money. He ignores all the letters. I send him emails, he doesn't answer. I call him on the phone. He doesn't want to deal with me. He doesn't answer. He doesn't pick up the phone. So I know someone is going to South Africa anyway. So I tell him, do me a favor. Go pester this guy. He owes me $1,000. Here's the shtar that says that he owes me the money. Go and insist that he should pay me the money. He goes to the fellow in South Africa and he says, you owe Herschel Schechter $1,000. He wants you to pay. So the fellow in South Africa says to the shliach, do I owe you the money? Mind your own business. You have no right to pester me. You can only pester me if I owe you the money. You're coming to insist I should pay the money to Schechter. If Schechter will come, I'll mechuyev to answer him. I'm not mechuyev to answer to you anything because la badorim didia. What if I'll appoint him, the fellow is going to South Africa, I'll be memana him as a shaliach. Nu, shluch shalorim kemoisai. So then he does have a right to pester. So the Gemara says wrong. He has no right to pester, even though I appointed him as a shliach. The loyva who owes me the money and he ran away to South Africa and still taina. La ba'adram didiat, I'm not mechuyev to deal with you. So how am I going to get my money? I have to go in person. I have to spend $5,000 to travel to South Africa in order to collect the $1,000 halvoah. How am I going to get my money paid back? The Gemara says I have to make a harshoah. What does it make a harshoah? What does that mean? It does mean that I appointed him as a shliach. If I make the man as a shliach is going there, the loyva can still say la ba'adram didiat. I have to be makna the chayiv to the man who's traveling. So instead of the loyva owing me the $1,000, the loyva now owes the money to the murshe. The murshe just acquired ownership of the debt. So the Gemara says, wait a minute, the murshe acquired, so therefore the loyva has the right to say, la ba'adram didiat, don't bother me. It's none of your business. I don't owe you the money. I do owe him the money. Since the Malveh gave over the Chayiv, the right to collect, he gave it over to the Murshe, so the Murshe is the Bailam on the Chayiv, now he has a right to collect. So Gemara says, so wait a minute. So after the Murshe collects the money, he can keep it and pocket it. He can keep it for itself. Because the Malveh gave over the Chayiv to the Murshe. So the Gemara says, no. He tafas matkinimine. If the Murshe will insist that since the Malveh gave him the ownership on the Chayiv, he has a right to keep it. So that's Gnei, he has to give it back. So how do you understand this? The Gemara says, Hilchos HaShliach Shavyeh. We only consider him a Shliach. But it's not enough. If the Malveh appoints a Shliach, the Loiveh can say, La Ba'adram Didiyah. So that's why you need a Harshoah. That's the whole institution of Harshoah. To enable the third person to collect the money from the Loiveh, have to be makna, have to give over ownership of the debt. To the third, I gave over ownership so he can keep it, he can pocket it. So what do you mean? So what kind of an andragonus is this? What kind of a pshara are you making? So the Ramban in the Melchamas, on Bava Kama Dafayin, quotes from the Kuntres Harshoya, written by the Ravid, the famous Ravid who has Hasogas on the Rambam. So the Ravid has a collection of tshuvas, it's called the Tnimdeim. And that collection is available in the libraries. Most people don't have it available. So then Tmim Deim, he has a kuntres on Harshoah. So the Ramban quotes a few lines, a whole paragraph in the Melchamas on Bava Kama Dafayin. He quotes a whole paragraph on the kuntres Harshoah of the Ravid. He says this hybrid, this androgynous, only exists on the level of the Rabbanim. And I thought there's no way to do this. But with the Rabbanim, we say like this, vis-a-vis the loive, the Murshe is the Bal HaChoyiv. I gave over the debt, the right to collect the debt, I gave it over to the Murshe. But vis-a-vis the Malta, the Murshe is only a Shaliah. Vis-a-vis the loive, the Murshe is the Bal HaChoyiv. What do you mean? The Gabi, the Malta, the Murshe is only a Shaliah. The Gabi, the loive, the Murshe is the Bal. How can that be? So the Ramban quotes the Ravid, you're right, on the level of the Raisa, it's nonsensical. The whole thing is with the Rabbanan. Efke bez nefke. They wanted to make a takana to Rabbanan to enable the Malveh to collect the money that people owe him without spending $5,000 to travel to South Africa to be there in person. So just to appoint someone as a shliach that's no good, because the loyde can say, I don't owe you the money, mind your own business, la badram de dia. So vis-a-vis the loyde, you have to say that you're makna the chayiv to the mursha. But then, in order that the mursha shouldn't be able to pocket all the money, he's the bailaman the chayiv, I just gave him a matana. So we say, no, vis-a-vis the malde, he's only a shliach. So this whole concoction, that he's a bailam on the dead, vis-a-vis the loive, and he's a shliach vis-a-vis the mob. This is Medir Rabban. So the Gemara says, here you have two people, let's say the second husband. The first husband, either. The woman was married to the first husband, they had never had any children, and then she gets divorced and she's supposed to wait 92 days. By the time it comes 92 days before she gets remarried, we'll already be able to detect whether she's pregnant or not. So we'll know whether the first husband made her pregnant, the second husband made her pregnant. But she didn't follow the halacha. She remarried right away. So she has a child. We don't know whether that child is the firstborn child of the first husband, and they have another 10 children after that. So the first child gets pishnaim, or it's the first child of the second husband, who also had another 10 children afterwards. So we don't know if it's the first child of one of the husbands, then the next child does not get Tishnaim. If he's the first child of the other husband, then the next child will get Tishnaim. So you don't know this Suffolk Dika child. We don't know the child of the first husband, second husband. There's a Suffolk, a 50-50 chance. Maybe he's a son of that husband. Maybe he's entitled to Tishnaim. And the second child, for sure, is a son of that husband. For sure, he yarshins, but he may be entitled to get pishnaim. So either the sotik is entitled to the pishnaim, or the next child who is born is entitled to pishnaim. So why can all the other yarshim say, we're neither going to get pishnaim to the first child who's besotik, or the first child who for sure is a child of that husband? Why doesn't one of them make the other one make a harshua and give over? You're entitled, either this child is entitled to Pishnaim, or the next child is entitled to Pishnaim. So one of them should come to the other brothers, the other children of this person who died, either the first husband, second husband, does make a difference, and say, either I'm entitled to Pishnaim, so give it to me, or if the other brother is entitled to Pishnaim, he made me a Mursha. So Mimanashach, you have to give me a Chelek HaBchayra. Either because I'm the b'chor, or because the other brother is the b'chor. And then when I'll collect the pishnaim, I'll split it 50-50 with the other brother. So that's what the Gemara asks. Whenever you have a case like this, for sure someone is the b'chor, either this suffix or the next child is born after him. So why doesn't one of them write a harshua to the other one, and the two of them will collect the chelek b'chor between the two of them, and then they'll split it up 50-50? Rabbi Yirmi interprets the Mishnah that nobody gets any Pishnaim. But Vlad Abacharov, the Shani also, Abacharov also doesn't get Pishnaim. Why not? Let one of them make the other one a Mursha. They'll be able to collect the Pishnaim and split it. So that's, the Gemara is going to work on that Kash. Okay. Maybe we'll discuss it next week. Maybe we'll discuss it next week. The next stop is also important dinim. A very important dinim over here. Just wanted to say a brief about Torah on the parsha. After the death of Sori Imenu, so Avraham Avinu realizes that he has to marry off his son. Yitzchak Avinu is still not married. So he sends Eliezer Eved Avraham to find the shidduch, to go to Aram Naharaim, to where his family lives, and she gets Lakach Deisha Livni. So Eliezer Eved Avraham says, "And Moim Tovu Yisha Lalech Zacharai. What if the girl won't agree to come to Eretz? What should I do? Ha'ashi Bashi Es Bincha LaEretz Ahi Asher Yitzas Misham. Should I read a shirach and then bring his son to Chutzla?" He says, "No. Sham Lecha Latasha Es Bni Sham. You can't bring my son there. Why not?" So Rashi quotes from the Medrash. Each one of the Ovis was different. Avraham Avinu originally started in Ur Kasdim, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, Lech Lecha Me'atzcha, go to Eretz Yisrael, and that'll be the beginning of the Jewish nation. Jewish nation began in Eretz Yisrael. Yitzchak Avinu never left Eretz Yisrael. Yitzchak Avinu was an Oilo Tamima. He was brought as a korban. He was supposed to, he was Hugdash. Avram Avinu was Magdashim as a korban. The Melav Haleu Sham Li'Oilo. So Avram Avinu thought, if you have a korban Oilo, you have to shecht it, you have to be zarek the dam. Then the Malach Epi says, no. But then there was this Ayalach and Echaz Basrach Bekainam. So he was makriv that one. Well, what did he have to be makriv if the whole thing was a misunderstanding? The answer is it wasn't a misunderstanding. Kodesh Baruch Hu told Avraham Avinu to be Magdish, his son. The misunderstanding was that Avraham Avinu thought that the regular din applies here by the Akedah. If you have a human being who's a Korban Oila, then you have to be makriv it on the Mizbech. So Kodesh Baruch Hu said no. He sent the Ayalach and Echaz Basrach Bekainam. Said, you do the Avodas, do the Shechita, Kabbalah, Halacha, Zrika, and Haktorah to the Ayil Achar, and I will consider it as if all the Avodas that he did on the Ayil were done to Yitzchak. So Yitzchak Avinu had the din of a Korban Oila, Lacha, Zrika, Sadam. A Korban Oila before Shechita, there is no Psul Yotzei. While the animal is alive, he can walk outside of Yerushalayim, walk outside of Beis HaMikdash. He's not Nifsal B'Yotzei. He's only nifsal b'yotzei after you do shchita z'avoda v'shoina. When you magdish a korban, kedusha speh, I say hereza kodesh b'kedusha soilo, so the behema has a kedusha haguf l'mizbeach. When you do the avoda v'shoina, when you do the shchita, it gets a deeper kedusha. The Gemara says sakan mekadesh. The Gemara says at the end of Zvachim, sakan mekadesh. What do you mean sakan mekadesh? The kedusha speh is mekadesh, but he says hereza oila becomes an oila. It becomes Kedushas Haguf L'Mizbeach. But then when you do the Avoda Rishayna of Shechita, then it gets what we call a Kedushas Korban, a deeper degree of Kedusha, Kedushas Korban. So, and the Psul Yotzei, if you take a Chutz L'Mekayma, every Korban has a Mokam. Kochikochim, the Mokam is the Azor, Kochim Kalim, the Mokam is Yerushalayim. So whenever you take a Korban Chutz L'Mekayma, even if you bring it back in, it's already Nifsal B'Yotzei, and it became Pasul. You can't eat it and can't be makrid anymore. So Yitzchak Avinu had the status of Kedushas Korban, and when they did, but Avraham Avinu did the Avodah, Shechita, Kabbalah, Halacha, Zrika, Haktor, did all the Avodahs, Anai, Alachar, Nechaz, Basrach, Bekainov, the Rebbein Shalom considered as if all the Avodahs were done to Yitzchak. That's why the Medrash has a Loshen. It says in the Pasuk, the end of the Terechach and the Parshas, B'chukosai, Zachatis Bisi Yaakov Afras Bisi Yitzchak Afras Bisi Avraham Eskar Oretz Eskar. So Rashi on that pasuk quotes the Medrash. The verb Zechira appears Zachatis Bisi Yaakov Afras Bisi Avraham Eskar. The verb Zechira appears in connection with Bisi Avraham Bisi Yaakov. By Yitzchak it doesn't say Zechira. Zachatis Bisi Yaakov Afras Bisi Yitzchak. It doesn't say Zechira. Afras Bisi Avraham Eskar. Why? Zechira is something that's not in front of my eyes, but I remember it. But Yitzchak Avinu, you don't need Zechira. Afrat Tzavar Munach Agabi HaMizbeach. The ashes of Yitzchak are there in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu all the time, and he doesn't have to say, I remember Brisa Yitzchak. Yitzchak is there. What do you mean Yitzchak is there, the ashes? Afrat Shal Yitzchak Tzavar Munach Agabi HaMizbeach. There were no ashes. He was never burnt on the Mizbeach. The answer is, all the avodas that were done to the Ayal Achar, Nechaz Basrach Bekarna, were considered, it was Zahir Rashcha, were considered as if they were done to Yitzchak Avinu. So Yitzchak Avinu had a din of a korban achashchita. So korbanos achashchita will be nifsal b'yotzei. To what nifsal b'yotzei? There was no Azora and there was no Yerushalayim at that time, but there was Eretz Yisrael. So that's what Avraham Avinu says. He's shamlocha pentosho is b'nei shama. Don't take my son Yitzchak out of Eretz Yisrael because he has a din of a kedushas korban. And if you take him out of Eretz Yisrael, he'll be nifsal b'yotzei. The mokum is Eretz Yisrael. So Avraham Avinu was told by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, let lecha me'artzcha go to Eretz Yisrael. That'll be the founding of the Jewish people in Eretz Yisrael. Yitzchak was born in Eretz Yisrael. And he was never allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael because after he was brought down the Akedah, he had the status like a korban lacha shchita, lacha rabbeinu b'shoina, shchita is the rabbeinu b'shoina, and he'll be nifsal b'yotzei if they'll take him out of Eretz Yisrael. Yitzchak Avinu spent a lot of time in Chutz Lortz, and he paved the way for the Jewish people. So he paved the way to show how it's possible. Yaakov Avinu is the one who instituted Tfilas Arvis. Arvis is at night when it's dark and the sun is not shining. Like in Golas, it's dark. So Yaakov Avinu paved the way that the Jews should be able to be successful in observance of the religion, even if they're dark years in Golas. Each one of the Arvis was different. So that's what the Pasuk says. Bahira Boris, there was a famine during the lifetime of Yitzchak. In addition to the famine in the days of Avraham Avinu, so Yitzchak Avinu always followed the Masoira of Avraham Avinu. So Rashi quotes from the Medrash, next week said, just like Avraham Avinu, when there was a famine, went down to Egypt, so Yitzchak Avinu was going to do exactly the same. So he was in Gerar. He was on the way, in Eretz Plishtim, on the way to go down to Mitzrayim. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu appears to him and he says, I'll tear it Mitzrayim. He's not allowed to go to Mitzrayim. Yitzchak Avinu didn't even realize why his father said, Rakas B'ni L'Sashim Shoma. Avraham Avinu told the Eliezer, you're not allowed to bring Yitzchak to Chutz La'aretz because he's an Oil of Tmima and it'll be Nitzchak B'Yitzchak. But Yitzchak didn't hear that from the father. Eliezer heard that. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu appeared to Yitzchak and said, you're not allowed to, well, I'll tear it Mitzrayim. You're not allowed to go down to Mitzrayim. There'll be Nifso B'Yotzin. It's interesting the way the Chazal had an understanding here. Ayel Achanechas Pasach B'Kainos. So the Avod is done to the Ayel, were considered as if they were done to Yitzchak. Otherwise, why did the Rebbe Shlomo have to make an Ayel? The whole thing was a misunderstanding. He was Magdish Yitzchak and Shai. So take him down. No. You had to do a Hakrovit. But the Avodah shouldn't be done. Instead of the Avodah being done to Yitzchak in person, they were done to the Ayel and they were considered as a Hayra Shah, as if they were done to Yitzchak also. That's Afrat Sabra Munach, Hagabi Hamizbech. Okay, so we left off in the middle of Mem Zayin on the base, the middle of the Din of Harshoah. The Din of Harshoah. So, Mechudish Dikadin. But in that, we'll have to continue. Then the next Gemara, the next Daf, also important Gemara, that when is the Chiyah Pidyon HaBen Chal? Is it Chal when the baby is born, or is it Chal on the Yom Lamed Aleph? Before Yom Lamed Aleph is not the Zman of Kiyam HaMitzvah, but maybe the Zman Chiyah is before, like Leil Rosh Hashanah. The Rashi in Sukkot says, Leil Rosh Hashanah, when Kedushas HaYom enters, is Chal already the Chiyah of Tkiyah Shoifah. The Zman Kiyam is only in the morning, but the Zman Chiyah is when the Kedushas HaYom of Yantif enters. But maybe by Pidyon HaBen is also the same. We'll have to discuss the next Gemara. Okay. Should all be helping this week. We'll continue. Yeah.
Is it in of Mechiras Chometz Arshah? Otherwise, why do you make a Shliach? You have to make a Kinyan by a Shliach?
Strictly speaking, we call it a Shtar Harshah, but it's not really a Harshah. We're not appointing the rabbi to collect any money from anybody else. I think we say, La'badram Dadiyah. It's a shliach. We appoint them as a shliach. The Rambam says there's a minig. It doesn't make sense, but he knocks sense into it. The Rambam said there's a minig. Whenever you appoint a shliach, the shliach gives you a handkerchief to be kind of the right to act as your shliach. So let's say a man wants to divorce his wife, but the wife lives in California. So the husband gives the get to a shliach who happens to be going to California anyway, and he appoints him as a shliach. So the minig is, the Rambam quotes, the minig is like that today, Arayin, that the shliach gives a handkerchief to the husband, and then the husband, by his receiving the handkerchief, he gives over the power of attorney, he gives the shliach the ability to function as a shliach. But strictly speaking, you don't need a kinyan. You appoint the shliach b'dvarim, b'ina shliach as b'peh. But the Rambam says the minig is to demonstrate that you're making him a shliach b'leif shalem. Therefore, the Rambam says, if the one who's memana the shliach says, "V'leif shalom gamarti v'amarti davarze," I'm appointing you as a shliach v'leif shalom. Then there's no need for the minig. You don't have to do the minig to make the kinyan. They quote in the biography of the Chazon Ish, in the stipula, the Chazon Ish and the stipula, whenever they would appoint a rabbi in the community to sell a chametz for them, they wouldn't make a Kenyan Suda because the Rambam says that it's a Minik Shtus. And Rav Soloveitchik said the Rambam doesn't say it's Minik Shtus. The Rambam knocks sense into it. The Rambam explains why it's not a Minik Shtus. the Rav Soloveitchik was a big stickler on that. You have to make the kinyan suited when you appoint the rabbi as the shliach. But the Rambam did make sense then. Yeah. So we call it a shtar hashava, strictly speaking, not really a hashava. Hashava said you want to collect a halvoya that the leiter owes, or you want to pick up a pikadon that belongs to the mafkid. And when I'll send a shliach, so the shomer can say, don't bother me, mind your own business, la b'advarim d'diyak. You have no right to pester me. So for that you need hashava. But just to appoint the shliach to give a get, the shliach to sell property for you, to sell the chametz for you. That for that you don't need any harsho. There is no harsho. Just you point the shliach. Yeah.
Sure. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, we'll continue with the discussion next week.
Yashikach. Thank you, Yashikach.
Good.